Good morning and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers and I am thankfully joined by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning.
Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I got my apron on.
You do, and it's a spectacular one.
I was thinking garish. This was my mom's apron, and you know how, like, when you clean out your mother's estate, you know, and the things you want, like you want, like, you know, an apron, well-worn and, you know, full of recipes and stains and everything. And this thing had never been washed. My mom never cooked, you know, and it was like standing on its own in a corner. So I washed it once, and my mom was 82 pounds when she died. So, like, to get it around my neck, it's tied in this knot that's like about as big as my, you know, I can get my wrist through it. So anyway, yeah. And it's circus tent striped, so
it's very nice. It's festive.
She's, I'm pretty sure, saying nice with little air quotes around it. Oh, and she's saying that she's thankful that she's joined by me because we're live again.
We are live.
Yes. You know, I'm so like careful about COVID, and this studio is so small. It makes me nervous to be in here because it's, you know, small enough that you can almost see germs. You know, they're magnified by the smallness of the place. But we did the pledge drive live last week, and I didn't explode or die or anything. And so I realized
Thank
that maybe
heaven.
It's a thing that I can do.
We might be able to. I will say that the station here is very cautious and very careful about all of
so
us.
Oh, so cautious, which and is really
so,
nice.
Yes, very nice. So yeah. They are doing above and beyond in terms of keeping us all safe. And now we're locked in our little space and we're really happy to be in the same room together. And we're especially happy to be in the KMUN studio sharing a little bit of time with you. And I think that very first thing we want to do is announce the winners of our cake and pie
contest.
Yes, these were all, it was a drawing of all the people who donated to the fall pledge drive during Food Talk last week.
So exciting. I'll do the drum roll. You do the names. It sounds like I'm cold, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And believe us, we're not cold in here. So we had three winners. We drew three winners, and they are Jen Mitchell.
Yay!
Jen Rideout.
Woohoo!
And Kristen DePalmetto. And
woohoo!
Thank you all for pledging your support to this fabulous radio station, which is the ultimate thank you gift. And we will be, I know that the staff has notified our winners and that they have my contact information, so we'll make arrangements to get them their pot pie and their almond cake.
So exciting.
Big
so,
old thank you.
So round.
Yes, it was round. It was the.
We should have given them a pizza too.
We should have. Too late.
Next year.
Yeah. And so I do want to say really quickly, in addition to that pledge drive catch up, that we got very close during that 1 week drive to our goal of $65,000, but we didn't quite make it. So we want to encourage everyone who didn't have an opportunity for whatever reason during the official dates of the pledge drive to think about making a donation right now to help us get to our goal. You can go to KMUN.org and press the donate button, or you can call right now because we have fabulous people here to talk to you on the phone. 503-325-0010.
Yeah, I pledged during pledge drive, but I'm going to give extra. I mean, I'm willing to do that because I don't ever remember a time where we didn't reach our goal. And I'm willing this one time to do it. And I know that so much of so many of our grants and other sources of income rely on us being able to prove that the community supports us, and how they see proof is dollars. You know, if the community will donate this much and that's how we get our goals, then we will give you this much, and that's as much as the station needs to survive. And so, I'm going to give more money.
Me too. We'll do it on the way out, and maybe you would do it on your way out before you leave home today or before you leave work. 503-325-0010 or KMUN.org. And thank you, everyone who already donated. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, Linda Perkins, what have you been cooking?
Well, let's see. Well, do you remember last week you were talking about how you were having fruit salad instead of lettuce salad?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. That just flipped a switch in me. And it's like all I've been eating is fruit with meals. And it's so delicious.
It's so delicious.
And I know it's not cooking something, but it's just so good.
Because it's the right time of year for a really big variety. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love citrus and I love apples. And we're going into peak season for those two things. And we can always get a banana if we want one. but to be able to have fresh berries and fresh stone fruits and pears.
And I was thinking about it. It's true of so much right now because it's like as far as local food that's available, it's summer and it's fall. Like we have the best of both seasons right now. And that's really quite a cornucopia.
It is. It totally is. It's harvest season. You know what I mean? It's harvest season. Yeah. We can still have fresh berries, and we can start having winter squash and root vegetables. Mm-hmm. And
I bought a delicata yesterday. I love them. Yeah, man. And that's definitely fall. But I also bought strawberries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of sweet potatoes. So good.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, so speaking of fruit, that's my segue.
Yes.
I have a hankering to make some huckleberry syrup. And I was wondering if you've ever made any kind of a fruit syrup. I've made compotes, I've made jam and jellies, but I've never tried to make a syrup. And I'm looking at recipes online, and we know that sometimes the internet tells the truth.
Once in a while.
But sometimes it doesn't. And so I just, and I've never made it. I just wondered if you've ever made it.
I've made raspberry syrup before.
How did it turn out?
Really good. And, you know, you can put it in a squeeze bottle and keep it in the fridge for quite a while to use on and in a lot of things. But I didn't really have a recipe. I just added, I just simmered berries in with a little bit of water and some sugar or honey or whatever you want to use for a sweetener and a squeeze of lemon and a little lemon zest and just cook it down and then put it through a Molly grinder or a strainer or something to get all of the little seeds out. And there you go. I've never really had a recipe, I guess.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try.
It's good with a little splash of like Grand Marnier in it too. Or limoncello or something like that.
You say that about everything.
I do, because I think that booze is an all-purpose ingredient and always appropriate. Anyway, and huckleberries would be great. I have huckleberries in the freezer that I have not used yet, but I was thinking about making
some muffins.
Me too.
That's what I was thinking of making with part of them. I bought them from a forager, but the problem is you had to buy 5 pounds, and they're all jammed into one giant gallon bag, and I don't want to thaw that giant brick out. I would never use, you know, more than a pound at a time, and so
me
I wish...
too. I have the same bag in my
Yes,
freezer.
I know, and I wish they hadn't been sold that way.
Yeah, yeah, they'd be so much more useful to us in one-pound bags.
Yes.
And we'd still buy 5 pounds.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But I get why they did it that way. And certainly in terms of bags, that's more, useful. But it is really hard to figure out what to do with 5 pounds
at once
of wild huckleberries.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that syrup is a really reasonable way to do it, or, you know, compote. Or bake it into things that we can freeze, then freeze the things it's baked into. Yeah. I was thinking about scones or muffins for, I have a drop scone recipe that is not I'm not crazy about the traditional Scottish and British scones that you roll into a circle and cut into wedges and bake, and they're very dry.
Mm-hmm.
I like a drop scone that's more moist and got a lot of craggy stuff on top. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to split it and toast it, you have lots of room to, you know, lots of little crevices to put stuff in.
You know, I always bemoan that cooking shows aren't cooking shows anymore, that they're entertainment. But I really like Mary Berry, you know, from the great British baking show.
Yeah.
And she has a show on public television that's it's kind of like travel, kind of cooking. She travels somewhere and talks about it, and then she cooks some things from that place. And in one, she was making scones, and she says, scones always turn out a little bit better when they're wetter, don't they? And so I've been trying that because, you know, they always tell you that it should just barely come together, the dough. There should be quite a lot of dry pieces. And I think scones are dry, so why am I doing that? So I've been making them wetter, and they're better.
Yeah, I think they are too.
Yeah.
I do.
Making the dough wetter, rather.
I think they'd be great with wild huckleberries.
Yeah, I think you're totally right.
So, maybe. Or even in quick bread.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever had, French toast made out of banana bread or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, speaking fairly recently, quicker. I had some. I was at a restaurant. And there was nothing wrong with it other than it shouldn't have been French toast. It should have just been quick bread.
Oh, my God. I so totally agree.
I don't think that quick breads make good French toast. They make really excellent quick bread.
Yeah.
And we should stop trying to be goofy about it because really, for me anyway, French toast needs a crust.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be crispy around the edge,
mm-hmm.
and kind of soft and wonderful in the middle. And it needs to have some texture. And when you dip...
Like some chew.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You dip quick bread into a batter and it just never, ever really gets...
Custardy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And I agree that I don't think it's bad, but... it's just like warmed up banana bread or warmed up. What did you have? What kind?
I had an apple bread.
Okay, yeah.
And the apple bread was really lovely, and I would have loved it just as itself,
mm-hmm.
you know, or maybe toasted.
Yeah.
But it didn't make great French toast, and I felt like it was an insult to the apple bread.
Well, and then I think part of it is my expectations that
that's true.
French toast has all those things, but still. I was kind of disappointed with the banana bread French toast. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it just regular.
I do too. And I like all kinds of bread. I mean, mm-hmm. I like a rye bread French toast. And
really?
A wheat
I can't imagine.
Bread
it.
French toast.
Do you mean like with the caraway?
Yeah. Well.
Or just rye flour?
Yeah, just rye flour.
Okay, good. Yeah, that'd be better than caraway.
but pumpernickel would be good. Mm-hmm. It can be a very savory bread, but it needs to be a yeast mm-hmm. bread. I really do think that it needs to be a yeast bread. Now, there's probably tons of people. Well, maybe we don't measure them in tons. Maybe there's like hordes of people out there, all seven of them, have a real fondness for quick breads made into French toast, but I'm just not one of them.
Yeah. I think I like French toast and I have French toast expectations.
Yeah, I made French toast for breakfast just day before yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sometimes I had a loaf of your rustic bread, which is
white
kind
bread.
Of the ultimate French toast bread, I think.
It's pretty chewy.
Yeah, it's great. And I often don't want to use it for French toast because I have plans for it. But but I was just wanting to, I have this rotation of breakfast stuff that's like basically like seven or eight go-tos. And then I rotate them again. And I was boring myself and I was like, French toast, let's do it. It was so good. So good.
Dale really, really loves it. I believe that French toast keeps. So like if you make French toast, I'll do what I often do is make more French toast, stick it in the fridge, and then Dale can stick it in the microwave in a couple of days. And same with pancakes.
And it's okay?
Yeah. It does. It really works. I swear.
Well.
If you don't use quick bread.
No swearing. We're on the radio.
Oh, yeah. That was one of my goals today.
Let's set goals we can achieve. Well, I think we're in total agreement about French toast. And I have no idea why it's French.
Oh, yeah, me either.
Boy, we need to do some research.
Maybe the custard.
Oh, yeah. Maybe the custard. I don't know. you know, when we talked so briefly last week during Pledge Drive, we only spent about 30 seconds on actual food talk.
I know.
But I mentioned that you asked me what I had been cooking, and I have been... I am continuing to try to rise to the chicken challenge that you threw that gauntlet weeks ago, and I've been trying to think of something to do also because I said that my husband is not crazy about chicken, and that is true, but I feel like there must be ways that would be, just because you don't want to roast chicken, maybe, you know, there's something.
Yeah, there might be ways he'd like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrap it in bacon.
Well,
that usually works.
that almost always works with everything. So I made chicken marsala, and I think I mentioned it last week, but we didn't have a chance to really talk about cooking because we had important work to do with Pledge Drive. But I got to say that I think that any time you get a boneless, skinless chicken breast and pound it really thin and do something with it, it's pretty darn delicious. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's almost... Oh, I could be going way out on a limb here and getting ready to saw it off. But I think that it is about the only way that you can make a boneless, skinless chicken breast really fabulous.
Okay, wow.
Maybe not, but I can't think of a way other than that that makes me want to do it. But chicken marsala is what I made, and it is... one of those old school things, you know. I say, when I say that my husband loves Salisbury steak, and you go, "Oh, it's rest home food." Well, I have a whole repertoire of rest home food, and chicken marsala might certainly fall in there. But just pounded out chicken breasts, dredged in flour, salt, and pepper, and browned, you know, very fast in a little butter and oil, and then topped with a sauce that is like so, probably twice as much weight of mushrooms as there is chicken. So delicious.
That's why shallots. I like chicken cacciatore. Same thing, mushrooms and chicken, they're so good together.
Yeah, really. Chicken parmesan, all of that stuff. So that's what I've been cooking recently.
That sounds really good.
Because you put marsala in anything, I'm telling you, there goes the booze again. That 45.
It's the limoncello for chicken.
It totally is. Hey, I need to take a quick second to remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN and North Coast Food Web, and that if you have a minute, do yourself a favor and check out those two websites, northcoastfoodweb.org. They're moving into their brand new space at the Astoria Food Hub, and they've taken a couple weeks off from their online market and everything else they do just to pick up all their things and decamp. But they'll be back in business the beginning of October, and KMUN.org is where you find out about things in the greater community, not just everything that's going on in your favorite radio station and all the ways to access programs you might have missed, but also community announcements and all kinds of cool stuff. Go there. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know how my brain works. I've so worried about COVID for 2 years. And so then... Yeah. Well, and then because I got in the studio last week and I loosened up the reins a little bit on that, my brain had to worry about something else. So it was botulism. So I did a bunch of reading on botulism. I'm so sorry. I'm just so cheerful. Aren't you glad that I'm co-hosting this program?
It's the malady hit parade.
Du jour, yeah. It's not food talk. The malady hit parade. I love that. That's so genius. But I did learn something that I didn't know. So one is that there's a lot less botulism in America than I thought there was. There's about 110 cases a year. On average, that's it. But 75% of those on average are infant botulism from honey.
Oh, my God!
I didn't know that. I always heard that you weren't supposed to give infants honey. And I knew that it was something. I didn't know it was botulism. But that's what it is. And they just they said it can't move through their system fast enough to get out. The reason we don't get it from honey is because we can move things through our system a lot faster than babies can. But isn't that something?
Yes.
75%. And the other 25% is foodborne wound, you know, like sharing needles, and then people getting it from Botox.
Those
are the other three categories in the last 25%. So foodborne botulism is not very common, maybe 30, 35 cases in America a year. And most of those come from canned vegetables, poorly canned vegetables, low acid vegetables, and then native Alaskan home canned things that are canned with seal oil. So not that many. So I think I can also loosen my reins on that a little, not worry so much about botulism.
But, you know, it's just going to step aside and some other horrid thing will fill the space in
my
brain.
I know.
And then you will share and give us something to worry about. But I was blissfully thinking that I had nothing to worry about with botulism, and I guess I really don't.
No, isn't that great? But I didn't know that thing about the honey with the kids. I didn't know botulism was a problem, and I didn't know that that's 75% of botulism cases in America. So don't feed your babies under 12 months honey.
Okay. All right. Probably people with babies under 12 months know that, but we
and
didn't.
They're probably too busy to listen to this.
I would guess. Yeah.
Oh, I have a Swedish friend that sent me some jam, and it was called Blabar Slitched. So B-L-A-B-A with a funny thing over it, R-S-S-Y-L-T. Oh. And it looked kind of like blackberry, but the berry, it kind of tasted a little more like a dark cherry, and it was small, like a cranberry, even a little bit smaller, maybe like a huckleberry. Anyway, I bake for a living, so I put it in a bunch of scones, and people bought them. They're like, oh, what could this be? I'm like, don't know. Here's how you spell it. And they're like, we'll try. And I thought that was cool that everybody was so game, you know.
Yeah.
Blabar Schlitz.
I wonder if there is this, you know, if we have that berry here and we just call it something else.
Something a little more pronounceable. Something with more vowels. Because that's like five syllables and it has two vowels. I don't know. Yeah. I should look it up.
Yeah. But it was good, huh?
Yeah. And it wasn't real sweet. But most of the jams she sends me aren't very sweet.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them have ginger in them.
I like the not so sweet jams.
Yeah, me too.
A lot.
Yeah.
I just recently opened a jar that somebody gave me a gift of ginger marmalade.
Numb.
Yeah. Total numb.
Wow.
And really good with nut butter.
Okay.
Also.
Oh, huh. I wouldn't have thought it, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I always, when I'm making like a spicy peanut sauce, it's always tons of ginger, tons of peanut butter.
Yeah, they're friendly. Huh.
Yeah.
Very friendly. I mixed a little bit of it with hazelnut butter, and I can't recommend it highly enough. It was really good.
It sounds really, really good. I saw a thing on the internet about some kind of plastic wrap substitute.
Somebody did the world a favor.
Yeah, they said that it's made out of potato starch.
Really?
Yeah, but it looks just like plastic wrap in the pictures. That might not be lying. And then it wasn't super expensive, so I think I'm going to get some and see how it behaves. They said it's guaranteed to degrade within 180 days.
Okay.
So.
And hopefully not leave a disgusting residue, because if it degrades into just like potato starch, hooray.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything petroleum in them.
Wow, we will be awaiting further reportage on that.
I'm pretty sure it's sold on another continent, so it might come by boat. But
I hope it doesn't take more than 180 days.
Oh, that's such a good point. I hadn't even thought about that. Oh, here's your roll of snot. Joke's on you.
It would be fabulous if there were a reasonable substitute for plastic wrap.
Oh, yeah.
Because as much as we all try not to use a lot of plastic wrap, and I think that I have, I now buy the smaller home-sized box of plastic wrap because I used to use the, you know, big industrial size when I was catering. And it lasts me months and months and months because I have replaced it with beeswax wrap whenever I can and the silicone Ziplocs whenever I can.
What do you think of those, the Ziplocs?
I love them.
Okay.
I totally love them.
I saw those on the internet that sometimes doesn't lie, too.
I think that they're fabulous. And I use them all the time. They work really well. They're, I clean them. They're easier, actually, to get really clean than a regular. We use the term Ziploc like we use the
Kleenex.
Term Kleenex.
Yeah.
But any kind of those sealable bags, if you reuse them and wash them, they're a pain.
Yeah.
They're a pain to dry sufficiently, and that you never, I am never really sure that they're clean.
Yeah.
But the silicone ones, I wash out by hand with soap, and then I rinse them really good, and then I run them through the dishwasher.
Okay.
And I just stretch them open and put them over a few prongs so they stay open, and then I use, this is my highly scientific method, and then to dry them out, I just open them up and prop them open with a little, you know, those plastic spouts you put in like your olive oil bottle to pour with. As it turns out, those work great as a little shim to hold the bag open.
Oh, okay.
And I just put it on my dish strainer and they dry and I feel like they're really clean.
Okay. It's great. You can put them in the dishwasher.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So, so I'm big on all of that, but there are certain things you can't, you know, there are certain things that it's just, you need a piece of plastic wrap. So if there's something that works like plastic wrap but isn't plastic, that would just be great. That would be really great. And certainly in the restaurant business, you know, you're pretty much required by law.
Yes.
To have catering all kinds of things that would not be so environmentally friendly if you had a choice. But
plastic wrap, cheap amongst those. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, hooray, we're awaiting your result.
Potato information.
I love it.
Have you been making anything besides chicken marsala?
I have. Let me think.
Oh, don't you hate that?
Yeah, I do.
But I was thinking about potatoes. Oh, here's a quickie. Somebody sent a potato through the mail.
What?
Like they just wrote an address on it and sent it to their friend. Isn't that hilarious? So I got this idea, and I think it's a good one. I don't have that sieve that actually tells you otherwise. But I'm going to take an X-Acto knife, and I'm going to carve my friend's name out of an eggplant and her address and send it to her and see if that goes. So, because, you know, white address, purple envelope.
Yeah, but an eggplant is not as sturdy as a potato.
I know, but I think if memory serves me, they don't get mushy. They just kind of dry up. They get kind of shrivelly.
Okay.
So I think what I'll probably do is put one on the counter for a week and make sure so I'm not sending something putrid through the mail.
Right. I'm just really hoping that, let us know when you're going to do that, because let us know when you drop it in the box.
They're postal enough already.
Well, I'm just hoping that none of my mail is going to sit next to an old eggplant for a week.
In my hand.
Well, I am looking for something exciting to do with carrots. I seem to have forgotten. I mean, I use them in everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're in every mise en place. They're in every green salad. But I want some. We're coming into root vegetable thing. I love them roasted. But there must be something as a side dish that we
You know what I don't do? Okay, so like green beans, I'll dry saute them and I put them in all kinds of sauces, you know, but I really don't put carrots in a sauce and I really don't glaze them. And maybe that's something I can look into too, because I too love carrots roasted, but I just roast them olive oil, salt and pepper.
Well, it's hard to beat that.
Yeah. But maybe that's something different to try, is different glazes, different sauces, you know?
And we can replace the chicken challenge with a carrot challenge.
carrot challenge, you're all challenged.
So foodtalkkmun@outlook.com
Yes.
is the way to submit your carrot ideas, and we will discuss carrots.
We're
next
so done
time.
With chicken. Chicken is over.
It's so 2021. You want to sing us out? We got to go.
Oh, okay. I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli. I'm driving my cauliflower. Driving a bushel of corn home. Well, we're turning left, we're turning right. I forgot the words. It's been about 40 years. No, I guess it's only been 25, because I wrote it for my nephew, and he's 25. And I guess he's still alive. La, 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 la.